mic on me is I felt very confident that the Lord had something to say to everyone tonight through me, but they put this mic on me and my confidence is shrinking very quickly. I was impressed by what our brother Christy said in the growth of the believer as mirrored in the life of the Lord and how he sits with us and encourages us to continue to grow. First as the example as the student in the temple, then as the example of the teacher with the disciples, the apostles gathered around him, and finally the encouragement to this do in remembrance of me. As we've been dwelling upon the faithfulness of God this weekend, and I've been sitting in the audience continuing to look at the sign, the 50th anniversary of Ocean View Bible Camp, the Lord has continually brought me back to a specific passage in Exodus. We looked at part of it yesterday, some of it yesterday, about the children of Israel. And I wish to continue on with that thought and continue on what our brother Christy was being led by the Lord to bring before us. And that is the continuation of the work. As we look at God's faithfulness through the years, I can't help but think we must look to the future as well. Should the Lord tarry, should the Father not give the word to the Son to return for us tonight, the work must go on. And while I appreciate the older brethren who are here and continuing the work, we all know they can't do it forever. We all know they can't do it forever. That's the importance of what our brother Christy was saying. That's the importance behind it, sitting as a student. And I realize that time is probably already gone, Uncle Kempton. But I feel I have to take just a little bit of liberty, like our brother David encouraged, and not quench the spirit. So one thing you can rest assured of is that I'm a younger brother, so I'm going to get down as soon as I can. But just a few moments, let's look at the book of Exodus. Before we do, though, I want to ask, God in his faithfulness has provided us all blessings, all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. What does this say to us? Does this mean we just sit down and say, thank you, Lord, and we take all the blessings for ourselves? Or should it stir some response within us as believers? Do we look upon the cross of Christ and simply say, thank you, Lord, praise you, Lord, and do nothing else? Or do we see his love poured out upon the cross for us? And does it stir within us a desire to show him our love for him, not only through what we say, but through what we do? Beloved brethren, as we look at the work that has been done here at camp, the gospel going out for over 50 years every summer, I think we, as the younger generation I'm speaking to here tonight, we have to rise up. We have to do, as our brother Christy said, continue to grow as believers. As older ones, we have to continue to submit ourselves to the Word, continue to submit ourselves to the guidance of the Lord and of the Holy Spirit. And so the work will go on, proving not our faithfulness, not our power, not our ability to do the work, but proving God's faithfulness to man. Because the power doesn't come from us. The power is not within me to do any good thing. The power comes from our Father in heaven. The power comes from the Holy Spirit, which our brother Christy just read, was imparted to us on the day of Pentecost. And so when we look at God's faithfulness, I keep coming back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, by the mercies of God, as we read this week, the mercies which are new every morning, present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable. There's a couple of different translation wounds. The one that I'm thinking of, which is your reasonable spiritual service. And so this brings us to Exodus chapter 2. I'm finally getting there. Oh my goodness. You guys, I didn't realize I'd become this long-winded. Exodus chapter 2. We all know where the story picks up here in Exodus chapter 2. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves. If we look at the picture, slaves to the world. But until chapter 2, we don't read of them crying out to the Lord for deliverance. 400 years they were in Egypt. Yes, the beginning was good because Joseph was alive and you know, caring for them. But when we come to the beginning of Exodus, we read that the king who knew Joseph, right, the king died, and a new king arose who did not know Joseph. And so he enslaved the people of Israel. And at the end of chapter 2, verses 23, 24, 25, I'm just going to read them so we get the context. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died. This is the king that was seeking Moses' life for killing the Egyptian. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. 400 years the children of Israel were in bondage, and we never read of them crying out to God until this time. But it is beautiful, brethren, beautiful to stop and consider that 80 years before this cry took place, Moses was born. We were talking about the faithfulness of the Redeemer, and we looked at, our brother Hans brought up two aspects. The faithfulness to provide the way to be redeemed, and the faithfulness to redeem each and every one who would come to him and ask for redemption. This is the picture here. God provided Moses the means through which he would deliver Israel. And when Israel cried out, look at the very next verse in chapter 3. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father, and it goes into the story of God appearing to Moses at the burning bush. God immediately puts into action his plan for redeeming the children of Israel. And I love it because God does not force it upon them. He waits until they cry out to him in dependence. He waits until they say, our Father, God, we cannot handle this anymore. Save us from this. How long do we carry our burdens around on our back, stooping almost to the ground before we say, our God, we cannot do this anymore. Save me. We do it as sinners until the Lord brings us to heal at the foot of the cross. But we do it as well as believers. We do not share our burdens with our brethren. We do not say to our brothers and sisters, you know, I've been really burdened. This has really been overcoming me. I don't feel like I can stand anymore. We do not go to our Savior, to our Lord, to our Christ, to our Redeemer, and say, Lord, I cannot carry this anymore. Shame on us, brethren. We trust him for our eternal salvation. But so oftentimes we say, no, I can go a little bit longer. I can go just a little bit longer. Should we not rather depend upon the strength of the one who was able to bear the burden of the sin of this world and conquer? And so we go from Israel's cry out for a redeemer, and we're going to look at Moses now, God's answer. And this is where the Lord has kept bringing me. Moses tried to redeem Israel. Moses attempted to redeem Israel by killing an Egyptian, by saving his brethren from the whip. But he tried in his own power and in his own might. And when he was found out, he fled. My beloved brethren, have you been trying in your own power and might to do a work for the Lord? Maybe you've tried so hard that you found yourself broken and limping out of Egypt, limping away from the meeting. Maybe you've tried so hard and gone nowhere, and you just can't do it anymore. So you say, you know what? I'm never trying again. Brethren, this is where Moses was brought to, in a way, because it was not the Lord's time. It was not the hour as yet. As we read in the remembrance meeting this morning, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time. He didn't die 5 years earlier. He didn't die 5 years later. At the right time he died. At the right time God appeared to Moses. At the right time God sent Moses back. And I want to take a minute and just look at Moses' reaction to the call. Because this is where I find myself so oftentimes. God coming to me and saying, Joel, I want you to do this. Joel, I want you to do that. And I find myself with questions. I find myself with fears. I find myself looking for every excuse. Lord, not me. Please, somebody else.